come down about Gemara of the Kuf Yudam Alf. The Gemara starts two lines on top. Kisola got Rabbi Lozan. When Rabbi Lozan went to Israel, after he found Lizaidi, he found Zaidi. Amalah, he said to him, Ika Tana. He only heard the second opinion of Rav. The second opinion of Rav was that Chal, that this udder, that if B'dievid, you went ahead and you grilled it, it's still usa to eat. Not like the first opinion that says Mutter. So, we're starting right now. Rabbi Lozan went to Yisro. And he asked, Dav Kuf Yud Amud Aleph, four lines from the top. Ika Tana, is there a Tana that asked Nia LeRav, that taught Rav Kachal, this law of Kachal that he said, but the Yevid is still forbidden to eat, if you didn't cut it open, and you cooked it, it's still forbidden to eat. Who is this, who taught him this particular law? Achve, Rav Yitzchak Bar Avadim, they pointed at Rav Yitzchak Bar Avadim, he's the one who taught him. I defended himself. I never taught him. Chal kolik. I never taught him. Navas v'rav bika motza v'goda bagadah. He found there was a big opening. He decided to put a fence. Now, Kuf Yud Amud Aleph, six lines from the top. We're talking about the udder. That according to the second opinion of Rav, if the udder, you're supposed to take the milk out of it and slice it open and take all the milk out. If you didn't squeeze the milk out and you grilled it, it's still asa b'dievid. And not like the first Rav who says that b'dievid is mutter. So he wants to know who taught the Rav such a thing, and everyone pointed to Yitzchak Bar Avadim, and he said, "No, it's not true. He did it, made it up himself." By eight lines from the top, seven lines. The Rav Ikla Le Tatalfush came to say, "Called Tatalfush." Shami heard like he eats. He heard a woman say, "The Kamel Lechav said to her friend, Riba de Bisra, I have a quarter of a liter of meat. Kamachal Bebayil B'Shuli, how much milk should I mix into it to make it really tasty?" Now you're not allowed to do that. It's Basa B'Chalav. He realized then that people there had no idea what Basa B'Chalav is, which is hard to understand because it's written in the Torah. Don't these people know that Basa B'Chol is forbidden? The only way to teach them is I'm going to go to the other extreme, the other end of the pendulum, and I'm going to make everything Asr. He remained there with Asr, and he said, you're not allowed to even eat Kachli, the udder. Even though the you should be able to, I'm not going to allow you to eat it, because it's Basa B'Chol. So he went very strict. Rav Kahana, Masne Hochi, Rav Kahana said, that's not what happened. What happened was that Rav Poshet made a mistake, misunderstood. Rav Kahana, what happened was, Rav Yeshi Barabba was taught, Masne Ano, Kechal Shemanika Shanisle. And when I said that, you know, I'm talking about a nursing mother, because the milk is real milk, so even with the Evid, it's forbidden. So Rav Yitzchak didn't teach, but I'm the one who taught him, because I said about Kechal Manika, a nursing mother, and there the milk is real, and there's a lot of milk there. Shanisla umafipula shirabchia shana like chalstam. And Rabchia, who was extremely sharp, and he understood, and Rabchia was extremely sharp, and he right away understood what I meant, that I meant only a nursing mother. When he taught to Rav, he thought Rav would understand that as well, but Rav didn't. Rav made a mistake, and he thought, oh, chal, and that's why he asked it. Rashi says over here that Rabchia was extremely sharp, and he understood everything on his own, and he thought that his students were as sharp as he was. So when he taught it to them, he just taught them vaguely, you know, a chal is us, and he was sure that they would understand. He meant a chal of the udder of a nursing mother. And he didn't understand. So I'm thinking that maybe this is the basis that Rashi says in Gittin in the Nuns, that Rab was actually a very mediocre student. And everyone wonders, where does Rashi get that from? Because the Gemara had in Chulin earlier, Rabbi Yechon Ishlokish, Rabbi Yechon said, remember, Rab, he was such a great guy. And we'll see later on as well, Rab was a great guy. Must be that this Rashi right here, that Rav Chiya was very smart.
We should be mediocre like that.
Right? Oh yeah, halavai. And Rav was mediocre. So you want to write Rabbi Rav Yisrael Yisrael called that puppy. Rabbi Rav Yisrael Moshe Keter has that puppy. Aisel Kamai brought and Rav Yisrael Chal gave him to eat a tafshel of chal of the udder of an animal. Rabbi Yisrael Yisrael Moshe ate it. Rabbi Yisrael refused to eat it. Amar Abayi was upset. You just incensed your host. Rabbi Tichle, he called him Rabbi, the one who buried all of his kids. Amai Lo Ochli, why? Because he lost his kids when they were young. Amai Lo Ochli, why did you eat it? Think for a second. First of all, you embarrass your hostess, and remember who your hostess is. Mehdi, the visu that a puppy. You know what a puppy's wife was, the hostess of this house. And you know what Rav Yitzchak Nafker is? Rav Yitzchak Nafker moriduv da'av. He was a guy who was extremely frum. He was so meticulous in his kashas. He loved the shmile beinoshe. If he wouldn't have heard it from the rabbis, he would not have done it.
What was the name of the one who lost his kids?
Rovin. His name was Rovin. He called him Tichla. Tichla means you lost your kids when they were young. In Surah, they refused to eat chal under all circumstances. Even if they cut it open, they wouldn't eat it. That's the meaning of Ashkenazim. Even if they cut it, wouldn't eat it. But this, they would eat it. They were very lenient. They would eat it. Rami Bar Tamri. There's a guy called Rami Bar Tamri. That was Rami Bar the Kuli, who was also known as Rami the son of the Kuli. Interesting, he must have something to do with palm trees. He was either the son of a date or the son of a palm tree. He must have had a business of selling palm trees or something. But actually, something about he's extremely poor. Maybe came from an area with a lot of palm trees. But Pumbedisa, he came from Pumbedisa. Now, we just said in Pumbedisa, they all ate the udder. And Ikla, he came to Surah when nobody eats the udder. It was Mali Yom Kippurim. When we even had the Mishnah before Yom Kippur, everybody eats meat. A lot of meat, a lot of animals, geshachten. So the people in Surah don't eat the chal. So when they shachted the animals, what did they do with all the chal? They tossed it away. Afkinu kuli amlekhan, they all removed the chal, Shadina threw it away. Ozel, Iyun, Akhtina, he went and gathered all the chal together. And Achlinu, he ate it. He must have a very big appetite. Obviously, he was very poor because he didn't have any food of his own. He had to go schlep, pick up the people's garbage, their chals. Aisu the kamelchi, they brought the shlep for the chizde. What a chutzpah! He's eating chal in our town. Amalei my tavadoch chizes. Why are you doing this? Amalei my asab yudano. I come from the other place in Pumbedisa, from Abuda, the region. The achel we eat it. Amalei. So what if you eat it? We have a rule that if you come from a place that, and you're moving to another city, and you intend to remain in this city, okay, so you take on the new minhagim. But if you come from another place and you're touring a city and you plan to go back, you need to follow the chumras you originally came from, and you need to follow the chumras of the place you're in right now. So how come you ate the chal in the city? You're just a passerby. Don't you believe in the principle which says in Pesachim we had that Noisin Olav Chumri Hamokim Shiyotze Misham Chumri Hamokim Shahal Hashem. Give all the chumras from where you came from, where you're going to. He said to them, the rule is if you're on a passerby, you only have to follow the chumras if you're in the Jewish community. But if you walk outside the Jewish community, you don't have to follow anymore. Chutzat Chuma Chaltino. I ate it outside the area of the Jewish community. Uvameh Tavisinu. So how in the world did you roast them? I used the twigs of vines. How do you know it wasn't from Goyim? It was Yayin Nesa. They used it for Avodah Zorah. So how can you use this to cook with? You don't have any benefit. It was after 12 months. And we know that after 12 months, it's all ruined. And there's no longer any more Gidon Asher. So the Gemara, the Dilma the Gezla, Haino wasn't stolen. Haino didn't belong to somebody. You just picked up twigs. Definitely the owners left, if there are no owners, ownerless. Why? The Kotchu Bechilve, I saw it was growing already, all these kind of thing, growths that grow only after a long time. Chazia de la Majula, then he noticed that the guy wasn't putting on film. He said to him, Amalei, my time limit is on you. You are such a big Amaida, Rami Bartamri, why aren't you wearing film? Amalei, Chaylamayan have diarrhea. I have stomach problems. I have diarrhea, and therefore I got to take out to remove the film, put it back on. It's not nice. Vamar Rav Yudah choyle mine pot from the pot of the film. Chaz then he saw it like a korah mechuti. He wasn't wearing tzitzis. I'm like my timer less mechuti. Why aren't you wearing tzitzis? I'm like talus shula. He says because the bar of talus. And our teacher explains my teyda. If it's not yours, you're potter from tzitzis. Why lechem le tzitzis? Only lechem if it's yours. If it's not yours, you're potter from tzitzis. But after 30 days, the Rabbanah says, people think that it looks like yours. So you need tzitzis from the Rabbanah. Like a mezuzah when you're renting a house. After 30 days, you have to put on the mezuzah. It's like your house. And but it's not 30 days. One of you just said, it was I came to town and I borrowed somebody's talus. Talus shula, koshloji, and potter from tzitzis. Ad hoc, in the meantime, they brought a person, they brought a person who did not show respect to his father and his mother, didn't fulfill the mitzvah of kivud avihem, they decided to kafsu. They were going to tie him down to a beam to give him malchus. Why? Even though it's not an avera, you don't get 39 lashes there, but we have the Gemara in Ksuba that says that by mitzvah, Lois say you get punished 39 lashes. By mitzvah, I say we're going to give you lashes until you finally relinquish and whatever your resistance to it, and you will do the mitzvah. So if you don't want to put on tefillin, I force you to put on tefillin, I'm going to beat you up. And agitate a nafsha. If you die, you die. That's when the Rebbe started with Tzoyim. It's a wonderful thing. Because the Tzoyim says that this mitzvah applies today as well. You see a guy not putting on tefillin, he's supposed to beat him up until he puts on tefillin. Or not benching lulav, you're supposed to beat him up until you... That's Paschal's halacha maisa. So we don't. We're talking, doing nicely. So they wanted to beat him up for not doing the mitzvah kivud avihem. Till finally he will accede and he'll do mitzvah kivud avihem. So the Gemara... Okay, it says the Gemara. So Rami Bar Tamri said to them, "Shavku, let him go. The Tani be learned. Call mitzvahs as say shematan zchara. See that any mitzvah with the Tani gives you a reward. You know why Tani gave you a reward? Ain bezin shalamatim muzharin ala. You know why Tani gave you a reward to tell you that if he doesn't do this mitzvah, don't punish him. That is the punishment that he will forfeit his reward." Amalei, so Rav Chizkiya said to him, "I don't know who you are, but chazinu lach. I can see the chadiva tuva. You are a very clever man." Amalei said to them, "If you would have been in our town of Yudah, I will show you what real sharpness is all about. You think I'm sharp? You should have come to our yeshiva over there. You would see what sharp people are all about." Bottom line is, we have a machlekes if you can eat the udder or not. Now we're changing the subject. So we have four different opinions regarding the liver, and some people don't eat the liver, no matter either the center liver. The udder, even if you cut it open, do everything else, you don't eat it at all. Some people said you have to cut it open, but if you didn't, b'di'evet it's mutter. Rav says b'di'evet it's usher if you didn't cut it open. And others say you don't even have to cut it open. There's an opinion that says you don't have to cut it open, because if you grill it, nothing comes out. When it comes out, it doesn't come back in. It was a nachman at the end with the yalta. Says the Gemara, we're changing the subject now. We're talking about liver. We had the Gemara before that liver is just a pile of blood, and the Torah allowed you to eat it. So even though it's blood, you're not allowed to eat any blood. This liver you're allowed to eat. And Abai was wondering, what's pshat? Is the pshat that while the liver itself is one piece, you're allowed to eat it, but if the blood comes out of the liver, that's like any other blood, it's asur? Or do we say the whole blood of the entire blood of the liver is mutter? So even if it passes out of the liver, it's mutter. So Abai said, Safra, tell me, kisalki lahosa, when you go up to Israel, boy, minai, I want you to ask the following question from the Amoraim, the kvada, I want the liver. What do you guys think about liver? The blood that comes out, there's the blood, is the blood itself, you know, and then we worry it'll come back in again because the blood itself is tray. But we say, no, the blood of a liver, even after it comes out, is kosher. And Machlekes Rashi tastes, according to Rashi, even if he didn't salt it, salt doesn't do much to it. Even if he didn't salt it, the question is the blood mutter. According to tastes, you're talking about you salted already. And the question is the leftover blood. Kisali, when he went to Israel, Ashkenaz, Ziki, Fan, Ziki, Omale, Ano, Shalkele, Rab Ami, I myself cooked or stewed for Rab Ami liver, no salting, garnished. I took a fresh liver, I cooked it and I stewed it, but Ochal, and he ate it. Why? Because the blood that came out and came back in, the blood that came out, maybe, is totally mutter. He also came back to Abai and told him what happened. For itself, I have no question. I had no question. Why not? You know why? Not because the blood is mutter, but because there's so much blood coming out of the liver, it doesn't reabsorb anything. It's continuously giving out blood. So therefore, of course, the liver is mutter. The other pieces of meat, let's say, in the same pot. If the blood itself is asr, the liver originally, the original liver is mutter because it doesn't go back in. But all the other stuff becomes asr. Or do we say, no, the whole blood of the liver is mutter? That's my question. So he asked him back up safra. Why don't you ask about itself? Because now we learned, Einun as said, is that the liver does not become asr. So you shouldn't have a question regarding other pieces of meat. Now we learned how covered the liver, I said, is asr's other piece of meat. But the Einun as said, it itself does not become asr. Because it exudes them thing. The Einun, but Allah doesn't absorb. Amalei said to him, maybe look, we're up to the Kuf Yud Aleph 111, the top line. 111, the top line. We'll be there in two seconds. We're doing now tomorrow's Gemara because we're not going to have enough time. That's how we can learn. Omalei said to him, Dilma Hasam, Bekvedidi Surah. Maybe misunderstood shot. There is talking about if the liver is treif, so the liver then asses everything else because it's treif. If the liver is kosher and all the other pieces are treif, the liver remains kosher because the liver is so busy exuding blood, it's not absorbing anything at all. Yeah. My question is, if you have kosher liver, if you have kosher liver, and we know liver is just a piece of a chunk of blood, the blood that comes out, and other pieces of meat that are kosher as well, the blood that comes out of the liver, I didn't salt or anything else, so liver we don't salt, we grill. But let's say, right now the Gemara is saying that you can cook liver, and the liver itself is kosher, because it's so busy exuding blood, nothing gets reabsorbed. But what is the status of the blood of a liver? Since the Torah says you're allowed to eat this blood of liver, is the pshat that the blood of liver, the etzim is mutter, so even if it comes out of the liver and comes into other pieces of meat, it's all mutter? Or do you say, no, Kozman, the blood is inside the liver, it's kosher. The moment the blood leaves the liver, it's no different than any other blood and becomes treif. That's my question. What about blood? What's the din? So Kihada Salik, when Safra went back to Israel again to ask the question, Ashke Yifalab Zika. He told him the same as Rav Zikki met before. He told him, don't ask the question. I and Yanai, the son of Rav Ami, once came to the house of Yehuda, the son of Rav Shimon Bepazi. The Kravelon, and you know what he gave us to eat? Kanya, the trachea, the windpipe. The Kufya, attached with the liver and the lungs, it was all there. And Vachalno, we ate it. Now, the liver, when you cook it, the blood came out of the liver, would go into all the, into the lungs and other things, and yet we all ate it. What's that proof? That not only the liver itself is kosher because it doesn't reabsorb the blood of the liver is kosher. So therefore, if the blood goes into the lungs, it goes into the kidneys, it's all mutter. Maskel of Asher Vashakar, who said? Vitame Rav Shmuel Mizar Rukina Vidilma, perhaps Pikon Chutzle Kedera Have. Remember, the liver is attached to the trachea. If the trachea itself was sticking outside of the pot, you know, the pipe, the windpipe, and the blood of the liver was coming out, most of the blood, not all the blood, came through the trachea, because that's an easy passage, instead of coming out through the walls of the liver, and then it will come out of the trachea outside of the pot. So the blood actually never touched anything else. It doesn't prove anything yet. We want to know if the blood of a liver, if it touches, comes in, you cook liver with other pieces of meat, are you allowed to eat the other piece of meat? Are you allowed to cook, eat the liver, even though you didn't grill it, didn't salt it? Because actually, whole salt makes no difference. You're allowed to, not like tasis. So if you're allowed to eat the original liver, because the blood does not get reabsorbed. The liver is so busy exuding blood. But what about the rest of the pieces of meat? You can't bring red eye from the story of the trachea, because maybe all the blood came outside of the pot. Inami, or another concept, mechlet havi cholot le mikara, which means they took the liver and they sealed it. By putting it into vinegar, boiling it into vinegar, boiling hot water, it sealed the liver shut, so no blood came out of the liver. Doesn't tell us, in a normal case of liver, if you cook a thing, what the din is. Whenever he had liver, what he did was, he used to cook it in vinegar, and what happened is the vinegar seals shut the liver, and no longer exudes any blood. And therefore you can cook it with other flesh because no blood is coming out of the liver.
But there's blood inside.
You're allowed to eat it. But I'm Nachman, you're mixing things up. There's Gemara, there's opinions, and then there's the Halacha. The Halacha is we don't. These are different opinions. But I'm Nachman, you're allowed to eat the blood inside the liver itself, the blood when it moves around. Rav Nachman chol tile bereich, and he used to seal it with boiling hot water. V'sover Rav Papa came to Rav Meimar. Rav Papa thought in the name of Rav before Rav to say chola osir. What about the vinegar itself? You cooked the liver in vinegar, and the vinegar sealed the liver, so no blood came out of the liver. Can you use the vinegar now for something else? Or the vinegar now has a little bit of blood came out of the liver, and therefore that vinegar maybe should be osir. And he holds that, not like Abayu, who thought that maybe the blood of the liver is kosher, even when it goes out, maybe it's also the blood. Omele, he said to him, you're wrong. Because ichola also, if you're going to learn that a little bit of blood comes out of the liver, and that blood is also, and therefore the vinegar is no good, then iunami also, nor can you eat the liver itself. Why not? Ki hecha de polid ha de bolam. Because since you're telling me the liver is sealed, 90% sealed, so it's not putting out so much blood anymore. Only 10% of the blood comes out. So when that 10% of the blood stops coming out of the liver, what happens then? It starts now absorbing. It'll reabsorb back the blood, and that blood is now asadika blood, and therefore it's asad. And that's the reason why we don't do chalita. Tradition Lord says this, because we're not experts in chalita. We don't know exactly what it means. Chalita is not just stomp putting in hot water. It has to be like very hot, and you certain method. We don't. We say the Mishnah Pesach. We say we don't do chalita. You know, dough putting it in the hot water. We're not exactly sure how to do it. That's why we don't rely on liver, and we don't cook liver because maybe the blood finished coming out, and now the blood's reabsorbing. We don't know how long the time should be.
Chalita
means singeing it like hot water. Anyway, right. Rav Bar Shvo, Ikle Bar Nachman came to the house of Nachman. Aitzele Kveda Shlika. They brought him out liver that was stewed. Shlika is more than bishel. Shlika is like really cooked for a long time. The Achor refused to eat it. They told Rav Nachman, you know something? Chutzpah, Barbeda, there's a Shiva Bachor over here who's frumer than you. You eat this liver. That was cooked in itself. Nothing else was there. So in other words, you hold that the blood that it doesn't reabsorb anything, and yet the legav and Babi Rav, the legav, the guy inside, he's more machmel than you. He doesn't want to eat it. So umana, who was that? Rav Bashva, Amaluhu. Rav Nachman said to the student, told him, gamul shva, force him to eat it, stuff it down his mouth. And he didn't even call him by his first name. He was so upset that he's being more machmel in his house than he is. So he called him by his father's name. He said to him, because his name was Rav Bashva. He says, go ahead. Shwa, take care of the shwa and force him to eat. What's the machlekes? It's actually a machlekes tanoim. Rabbi Lezer says, Hakovei the liver oiseres does aser of the meat ve'enun esar. That was the blood coming out of the liver is aser, but it itself does not become aser. Why not? Mipnei poilet is constantly busy exuding blood ve'enun belas, doesn't absorb anything else. So the liver itself is kosher, even though you didn't grill it, you didn't salt it. Rabbi Shmuel ben Oish, Rabbi Yechon Baruch Omer. Rabbi Shmuel, he said, depends. Mit tivelis, if you season the liver, so what you did was you softened up the meat, then I said it's aser because it easily reabsorbs. The neseres, it asses other meat and it itself becomes aser. But shluk, if you cooked it for a long time, also, I said in aseres. Bish, if you cook it for a short time, the blood comes out and doesn't let any blood in. If you live for a long time, eventually the blood stops going out, it starts reabsorbing. And since it was shluka, and that is why today, by the way, we don't cook liver, we have to grill it, is because we're not experts in the difference between bishul and shluka. Bishul, we say you're allowed to cook liver without grilling it, and shluka, you're not allowed to. But we don't know the difference. How much time does it have to sit there before we consider it a shluka, a thing? So therefore we grill it, take all the blood. That's why this student, Rav Bashva, didn't want to eat follow these tanaim. And I'm Nachman Buzmata. Rab, sorry?
Why is it broken down like the
Oiseres
twice?
Oiseres. No, one's Mutuvelis and one's the case of Shluka. You could have, but it's very different cases. Mutuvelis, he did something with the liver. Shluka is, he did nothing with the liver. But Bishul, yeah, but this is a Chumra. By Shluka, it's a Chumra. Because we're not experts. We're going to be, the halacha by Shluka is that it becomes Asa, and that's why we're not going to do it. But Shluka is a very, sometimes you say Mutuvelis, if you say Mutuvelis and Molach, so it's the same idea. Here, in the case of Shluki, he did nothing with the meat. It's just the procedure, the process of how you prepared it. In the case of Tavellus, you did something with the meat itself.
Right, I'm just wondering the wording, because it says
Oiseres both of them. Exactly, that's why. Oiseres means it asks other meat, because it's very different cases. No, because it's very different cases. They want to keep it separate cases. Yeah. And Taisus asks your question. And Taisus says, therefore, I think it's Taisus, when it comes to Mitavellas, there's no argument. Everyone agrees that by Mitavellas, if you put spices and seasoning on it, you soften up the meat, so therefore it will reabsorb. Where they argue is in the case of Shluka. But Rav Nachman gave him Shluka. Rav Nachman gave the Rabbi Shvor Shluka, so eat it. No, Rav Nachman held that as Mutter. So that's where they argue. So therefore, we made a separate case. Good question. Rabbi Barabuna, Ikla Be Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi almost came to the house of Rabbi Nachman. A lot of rabbis in those days. Aisha the Kameh, they brought before him Tlas. They brought before him Tlas Sovi Tachoy. They brought him three soin, a measurement of bread. And it was smeared with oil and honey. So fancy bread. Amaluhu. Very fancy. He was a guest there for Shabbos meal, and this is a delicacy. So somehow or another, he decided that they must have prepared it for me. He couldn't be that every Shabbos they eat such fancy food. So Amal said to me, "How in the world did you know that I was coming today, that you already before Shabbos prepared it?" Amrul, they said to me, "Think you did it for you? Me adifud lamina, are you any better than Shabbos day itself?" The Chassid says, "V'karosh al Shabbos oinig. Shabbos, you have to have delicacies. We didn't do it for you at all." So interesting model. So Shabbos is supposed to have the best food. This is, you know, the best food. Not just supposed to eat, enjoy it. He's supposed to have the delicacies.
Yeah, but fancy him thinking that.
I guess where he came from, where you couldn't afford it. You know, the delicacies he couldn't afford. And suddenly he saw that. He was convinced it was because of him. You're right. Sounds like a little bit of a...
Similar to the Gnei with that stuff.
Well, that's why he asked and they answered. So there was no Gnei with that here. But when we had the Gemara before that, if you deluded yourself, we're not mechuyev to change, you know, to tell you otherwise. Nobody told him that it's for him. He decided it's for him. Adahochi, in the meantime, Asher, he found that they fed him a liver, the havibas simpoina de bliadama. They found that it had a liver with arteries on it, and there was blood still in arteries. Now, in the liver itself, when we said till now that a liver is all right, we were talking about the meat of the liver, or the blood part of the liver. But the arteries, the blood is separate from the liver. The arteries, the blood are sitting in arteries. There's no question that blood is asr. Even not only when it escapes, even while it's inside, it's asr. It's the blood. If it moves around, when you cook it, it moves around. And as a machlek is a shayim, cooked blood is asr mahatayr or asr midrabanan. Blood in dam hanivul nevarim. Any blood that's inside an aver. If you eat raw meat, you're not aver of eating blood because the blood hasn't moved. Only when it moved from its original place, and if it traveled around. If you cook, blood moves around, but cooking itself changed the matias of blood. So some of the shayim hold that cooked blood is asr mahatayr, and some of the shayim hold that cooked blood is asr midrabanan. But these simpoinas that are inside the liver, these are arteries that are full of blood.
When you eat raw meat, maybe chewing it makes the blood move around too.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. It's in your mouth. So the Gemara, how can you feed the liver? Okay, I understand that you cook the liver in alamaisis, but the whole idea is you have to extract the arteries. You left the arteries in, and that's another reason why we grill it today, because the arteries that are there. What else should we do? Koru, you have to cut it lengthwise and widthwise. And you have to this. You have to cut it lengthwise and widthwise. And make sure that when you cook it, the slit, the incision is facing downwards, so all the blood goes out. To my liver. When it comes to the spleen, even though it's red, so you might think the spleen is like the liver, just a chunk of blood. No, the spleen is purely fats. The spleen is pure fats, and therefore you're allowed to eat the spleen. You don't have to do cutting it up and everything else. Okay, so in other words, by a liver you have to cut it open. By spleen you can cook it, and it's all beside it. Yeah. Every time he went, the most often sought medical treatment in those days was extracting of the blood, called hakaza, like, you know, suction cups and all that kind of stuff. These hakaza, and they used to feel very, very weak. And all kinds of laws we had throughout Shas about, you know, shouldn't fasten there, all kinds of laws about hakaza. What he would do on the day of hakaza is he would eat spleen. The spleen is supposed to give you a special koyach to help him out or something. And therefore, we eat that. And he would eat it, and without cutting it open or anything else, because there's no real blood there. Eat, we learned, in those days, Rashi explains, the ovens were basically a cone, a cylinder. They used to be very wide, like Gemara says in Shabbos. It's very, very wide in the bottom, and then it gets narrower and narrower and narrower, and there's a cavity on top, and you used to put a pot on top of it, or you put something inside, but you put it vertically. So if they did a spit, they didn't do like we do horizontally, they did it vertically. So they had a spit. So if you have a spit vertically, says the Gemara, kveda ilava bisa, if the liver, you're going to grill another liver. You place the liver on top of the meat. What happens? All the blood of the liver is going to come pouring down, oozing down onto the meat. Shari is permitted. Why? Why is it permitted? The blood of the liver is coming down on the meat. He said, you know why it's permitted? Because dumb mishik shari, the blood falls, slides right off. Because because it's not cooking, you're grilling, and grilling doesn't really, it's mainly exudes, doesn't absorb, and therefore it just slides right off the meat in the bottom. However, kechala udder you love it, but if you have an udder on top of meat, usser. What comes out of the udder? The milk. Milk is sticky. Blood just slides right down like water, but milk is sticky. And therefore, the milk will stick onto the meat in the bottom, and you have a problem with chalav. What do you call it? Chalav, sruchim, make it sticky. Rav dimi, menadoi, masti, chilon, pufaket. Chalav, ilovi, bisa, milk on top of the meat. The whole is only the rabbana, remember, because the milk inside the udder is not really milk. Only the rabbana say once it leaves, it's also, so we're not going to be machmir. Shari, my time of chalav, schutte the milk from a geshachna. Animal, the rabbana is only the rabbana. Abakvedi, ilovi, bisa, but if you have liver on top of the meat, also. Liver on top of the meat is also. Why? Because dam, what comes out of the liver? Blood. And blood is the rice. So we're learning here that the blood, not like Abaye asked the question, we're learning here the blood that leaves the liver is also matayda. Once it left the liver. So Gemara concludes. Darish Menemer. Hilchasa. What's the halacha?
Blood doesn't make it also, right?
Sorry?
If the blood went on and then it came off, let's say it even stayed on while.
No, if it has to get absorbed. Otherwise, you just do klifa, you know, you just peel off
right,
the top of it.
It slides off, it doesn't do anything, but the color of the fall, assuming the color would make it.
It's penetrating straight away.
Right.
Because it hangs around.
Muscle, right?
That's exactly what he's saying. That's why you shouldn't have.
Second opinion is saying that it's not. It's okay. The color would be.
Oh, he's saying because also the Rabbanu, and the Rabbanu said that this way we're not going to be goyser. The whole thing is like Zeta. People are going to make a confusing mistake. That's what's mamish. Here, most of it slides off anyway, so. Dorish Menemet Hilchasa. What's the final halacha? Bein kveda, whether it's liver, bein chala, whether it's an udder. To say bisa shari, if you had them on the bottom, it's all right, because any blood or any milk goes straight to the bottom, doesn't fall on top of anything. Ilavi bisa, if it's on top of the meat, chatchila, you shouldn't do it. But the evid, in. But the evid, with the evid, it's all right. Why but the evid is all right? Because with the evid, either blood will fall right down, and if it's milk, the rabbanu won't go, he's in this circumstance. Of the chatchila loy. Rashi says the bottom of Rashi, Hilchasa, four lines in the bottom, Uli done, but by us. Also, Legamri Lechatchila. By us, it's forbidden Chatchila completely. Lefish Shpudim Shalonu Einan Tluin. Our Shpudim, our spits, are not vertical. Ela sheichweis. Ours are horizontal. Upa'amim, and interesting, Rashi says, sometimes shemeidim zon of hashpud, which side will you lift up? Sometimes you lift up this side, sometimes you lift up this side. So sometimes you might lift this side and the blood suddenly comes rushing down in the milk, and suddenly you bring the other side. So, but, you know, Mamrema said in those days, if the liver was on the bottom, no problem. Today, because it's horizontal, I don't care where you put the liver, right side or left side, it's always us, because you don't know which will end up. About it on the same spit. We don't know which side it'll end up because you lift the spit on one side, the liver's on top, you have another, the liver's on the bottom. Now we know who the father was. Rav Ashi once came to the house of Rami Bar Abba. He came to the house of Rami, the son of Abba. Chamua was his father in law. Chazi saw Lebraid Rami Bar Abba. For some reason or another, he didn't call my brother in law. You just called him the son of my father-in-law. Because Shapid Kveidi, he loved it. He saw him put liver on top of meat. He saw him put liver on top of meat. We just said that you shouldn't do that. And he wasn't worried. We just said the liver on top of the meat, according to one opinion. I said that's the halacha. The liver, the blood comes down, and it's awesome that I said, therefore we're machmir. He's only doing it. How arrogant is this rabbi here? Even Amarema said the Yevi, but the Yevi did it. We're going to rely that, you know, it slides right off. And who said the Chatchila? And if there's a tray, the drip tray on the bottom, which collects all the blood and collects all the fats, and even the meat on top of the liver, because the blood of the liver sits on the bottom, and then the gravy of the meat, and they're all mixed together. So how is this different than if... Then every time you just grill meat, you don't have to salt meat, right, if you grill it. Every time you're grilling meat, blood comes to this drip tray, and we never have an issue. It lets you forget about the liver, the blood of the liver, just regular meat. And then the gravy of the meat, we never say, oh, you can't do that because you don't eat the gravy of the meat because underneath that is the blood of the meat. We never say that. So why suddenly the liver you do say that? What happens to the blood of the meat? It settles on the bottom of the tray and the fat stay on the top, so you're going to skim off the fat and therefore no problem. But the blood of the liver actually floats on top. And therefore, to get to the gravy, the blood on top, and you might be over. Sacking the knife, a knife that you shechted. And then we say that the base hashchit is considered hot. So the knife is now absorbs blood, and you're not allowed to cut. You're not allowed to use this knife to cut with why? Because it'll exude some of that blood. Also, lachta boy resech. You're not allowed to cook hot things with it. Because when you cook hot things with it, what's absorbed in the blood, blue in the knife, is blood of the behemoth. And therefore, because the knife absorbed the blood because it was hot, and now that this knife, you're cutting something hot, is going to exude that blood again. Tzoinin. What about if you cut with it a tzoinin, a radish which is sharp? Amle. Some people say boy hadocha. You just have to rinse off the part of the tzainin where the knife, the blade came across. And Amil, boy, you don't even have to wash it. So what happened here? The knife, all it had is absorbed blood. There's no fats stuck on the end of the knife. We're talking about blood absorbed. So if you cook something, if you cut something hot with it, it'll exude the blood. If you just cut your radish, even though it's sharp, it's not going to take out the balua from the knife. Omar Rav says, Rav. The tray that you use to salt your flesh with all the holes in it, I'll put anything hot on that tray. Why? Because of since you salted the blood on the thing, and salting is like cooking, so the board absorbed the blood. And then if you put something hot on it, it'll absorb that blood that was absorbed inside this board. Shmuel Tamei. Why? Shmuel is consistent. You don't have Shmuel. Meliach hareyu kureisech. That salting is like cooking. When you salt something, it's as if you cooked it. And the kavush harikvushal. And if something is sitting in vinegar or something sitting in water 24 hours, it's as if it's cooked. So this board, even though you didn't cook anything on the board, you only salted meat on it, it's as if the board was cooked. You cooked the meat on the board, and we say kureisech like sli. And therefore, the board absorbed that blood. And then if you put a hot piece of meat on there, the meat will suck out the blood from this board. Says the Gemara, Ki also Rav Rabbi Yechanan, when Rav came along to Rabbi Yechanan, Meliach Eina Gersech. When Rav came along, he said, Pungfaket, that salting is not like it's hot, and Kavush Eina Kimavushel. So there's no problem. Salting on a board, you can use the board for other things. Omer Abayi, Abayi Bob Maises. Hod the Ravin lesser. This never happened. Tahi Pinchas, there's once on earth in China, the Havi Beit Rab Ami, that was in the house of Rab Ami, the Moloch Beit Bisrei, that they used to use it to salt meat, the Tavre, and he went ahead and broke it, because he was scared that somebody might forget and use it, and you're not allowed to use it. And now Rab Ami, who is his Rebbe? Mechdi, Rab Ami, Talmid, Rab Yechon, if Rab Yechon holds that if you sold something on something, it doesn't become treif, so why did he break this beautiful china? My time at Tavre, why did he break it? La Meshum, isn't it because the Shmuel, Rab Yechon, Rab Yechon, said, forget. Just like Shmuel, Melech, Harei Ukiresech, if you sold something just as you cooked it. Yossi Rokana, Rav Kana once said, Achva de Rav Yehuda, the brother of Yehuda, other Gesoys, it wasn't the brother, just it was just in front of Yehuda. Rabhuna, in front of Huna, the Yosef, they sat, Uka'ama, and he said, Kaida Shemola Babasa, the tray that you sold to the meat, Osa Lechel Boydasech, and now that he had stuff there, why not? As you just said, because it's now as if it's cooked in this blood and then you're absorbing it. But if you have a tznoin, a radish, and you cut it with a knife, even though the sharpness of the tznoin might take in some of the the absorb whatever the knife, fleshy knife. Nevertheless, and we're worried that the knife, because of the fleshy knife, not because it's just shechted, the fleshy knife might have pieces of fat stuck between the teeth or something that you didn't notice it. So lechayde, the tznoi now has pieces of flesh in it, and if you can eat it with milk, mutl oichel bekutach. Yet I hold you allowed to eat it with this milk potion, with this milk concoction. Why? My time, Omer Rabbaya, high hetayda bola, the high yisuda bola. In the case of the board, what did the board suck in? The blood of the blood. Blood is asr, so it has is in it. So even though it's not a big amount, it's asr. Mashenkin, in the case of the tznoin, what did the tznoin absorb? Let's say a little bit of fleishik, but fleishik is mutter, so it's nice in time lehetayda. And then when you're going to take this tznoin, this radish, and you're going to eat it with something milchiks, it's already a very weak taste. Omer Rabbaye, the halachic language. Omer Rabbaye says, "Hi hetayda bala, hi suru bala." Omer Rosh Rava, I don't know what talking about. Ki bala hetayda mahave. So if some hi hetayda suru, when are we going to say that if you absorb hetayda, it's all right? It's a weak amount. If it's a double, the sin is tam, as we'll see later. You cook flesh in a fleshy kapat. So the pot now has in it a taste of fleshiks. Then you cook in there something pariv. So you cook something pariv, the walls of the pot go into this pariv thing. Now you have a nat bar nat lehetayda. You have a double taste of fleshiks. Very, very weak. And then if you eat that with milchiks, let's say you cook spaghetti there. Now you want to put butter in there. It's a nat bar nat lehetayda. We are lenient because it's a double, it's two steps removed from the original taste, and it was all mutter, so there's very little left. And you want to create an issa. To create an issa, you need something substantial. But if it was issa, then even if it's double, two levels, three steps away, it was already awesome. What's this classified as awesome? Ella, what is it? What's it in the knife and the tznoin and the board, the salting board? Hi, actually, the salting board, you can taste and you can't taste. But the tznoin you could. Even the salting board. Okay, you can't eat it because it might be blood, but get a guy to taste it. I'm going to get an expert, as we learned before. A pot that you cook flesh, don't cook milk. But if you cook, it gives taste. If you cook truma, don't cook chulin there. And you give it to a kohen to taste to see whether, this is before we relied on rules of 160. But I mean, we say, I understand, give it to a kohen. Who's going to taste it? He said, "Litamik feil, let a goyish expert taste it." Hachinami tamik feilim. Hachinami, he says, "Rav, I'm talking about kikamila kifeila." You're right. There's no difference between the radish and the case of the board because both of them is only one nice and tam. However, in the case of the radish, you can taste it and see whether there's a taste. In the case of the blood, there's no goyim that's around to ask. Itma, we learned dog and fish olu bekaira. You cook something pariv in a fleshy kapat. Rav Amar Rav says Asul Echel Bekutri Nal Yitigah with milk. He holds not by not Letayda Noisin Tam by Noisin Tam Letayda. Those two steps away, it's still Asul. However, Shmuel says Mutul LaAchel Bekutri. Look at Shmuel. You're allowed to eat. You make spaghetti in a fleshy kapat, even though it's Ben Yomai. There's a taste of a taste. It's a second generation, according to even though we're Machmer today. But Shmuel says you're allowed to put cheese into that lotion. Rav Amar Asul could Noisin Tam. We still have a taste of the flesh. Shmuel Amar Mutul. That's right. Shmuel says mutter because nice and tam ban nice and tam. Shmuel says mutter. You know why? It's two steps away and it's all heter. Therefore, now you want to create an issa that's too small. So the Gemara, the Rav la befeidish, the Rav actually never said it clearly, ela mechlolim from a story. The Rav ikla be Rav Shimi Bachia, Rav was kent to Hazim Bachia, Babrei, his grandson, Chosh be'enav, and Rav wasn't feeling well, he had an eye problem. Of the Le Shaifa, so they made some kind of a shmirach, so put on his eye for men out of incense. And they put it onto a plate. Basar hachi afterwards, rami le bishula. In that same plate, they put some cooked item. Begavo, toyim le time with the shayfa, and he tasted the food that they cooked, and he felt the taste of the incense. Omar yoyiv time akulahai. I didn't realize that even though the taste only absorbed in the pot, and then from the pot, it exuded onto this, it still has a taste. So therefore, we glean from that. He holds that nice time is awesome. But loy is not true. Shiny hossam the nafish meradat vei. That's different. That's incense. They say if you go to the Mishkan Shilei today in Israel, which is 1,000 years later, and you certain spots, if you smell, you can still smell incense from the Mishkan that was there for 440 years. So anyway, so incense is different. No rai from that story. Rabbi Lozav was coming in the Shmuel. I was talking about Shmuel. I said, "Come made dog. You carried the bird before him. Fish that was cooked in a flesh kapat." And when I worried about sakana, you know, you not eat fish and flesh together because it's only when they're end, only they're physically there, not if they're absorbed. Absorbed flesh is not a problem. Even though I know there are people who have a very machmir to have a fish pot, but in halacha is no problem. Well, ka'ochel bekutach, and he ate the fish like spaghetti with cheese. Yov lei v'leochel. Then he gave it to him, but he gave it to Rabbi Lozer, refused to eat it. Amalei, so Shmuel told him, he made up a story. Your Rebbe, Rav, I once gave it to him, but Ochel he ate, but Atle Ochel, you want to eat it? Also, the Kam made the Rav, he went to Rav, he said, Rav, Rabbi Lozer went to Rav, Amalei, hold the babe, I'm a shudder, you change your mind, you're saying now you're allowed to have the luxury that's in the flesh, you're Amalei, chasle lezara, I don't believe that the child of Abba Barabba, Rab's, Shmuel's father was Abba, to make up such a story and give you something that he knows that I don't believe in. So that's how we know that Rab holds that even not by not is also. Rabuna Rabchi Barashi have a Yosef Chad Bahagis and Mivin Sura Chad Bahagis and Mivin Sura sitting two sides of the river. Lamarais, the Dolan Makada, one of them ate fish cooked in a flesh kapad, but Ochi ate with milk. Lamarais, late to any Menorazu, they gave him fruits and vegetable fruits that normally dessert and usually have to make a brach. Ate, he gave it in the middle of the meal. But Ochi ate it, Vele Borech didn't make a brach. Marom, Lechavre, Yasma, you're behaving like you have no parents. Ovid Rabach Ochi, this is how you do. That you eat the lakshim with cheese and cook in the flesh of pot or fish, whatever. Is not a problem. Bread in the beginning of the meal, pot is everything. The yayin poite come in a mashkin, including dessert. If you eat in the middle of the meal together with bread, you don't have to make a brach. We'll continue tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem.